those people talk about how like crafting is a community building activity as well.
Mm-hmm.
Working with your hands, doing these crafts, like it requires some skill. So it provides an opportunity for socialing, like socialism, not socialism like that, like socializing.
Yes.
There's a social element to it.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about in that happiness study that like particularly younger generations, they don't feel like they have a whole lot of social support.
Right.
And it's like these things, like working with your hands, one of the best ways to connect with human beings in the world is to connect based on a similar hobby that you like.
Right. Yeah. I mean, like, I remember in
doesn't even
like
matter what it is.
The clubs that were like in school, whether at middle school or high school, you know, like chess club and things like that. But then, like, you can even have like knitting club or quilting club and things like that. So it's
we
just
didn't
like,
have those in my school, but I'll take your word for it.
Maybe just nerd school.
You're listening to the Addicted to Fitness podcast, brought to you by Elemental Training Tampa. Now, here's your hosts, Nick and Shannon Birch.
Thanks for stopping by and checking out another edition of the Addicted to Fitness podcast. We are going to talk about some new research that's coming out that confirms the old research we've talked about. It's basically why doing things with your hands, which sounds kind of dirty, is more rewarding.
I was going to say, this sounds borderline sexual.
Yes.
It's not.
Working with your hands is more rewarding and can actually help improve your happiness.
Yes.
All right. So, but before we go into the details of that and explain why it's not dirty, we want to thank you guys for listening to this week's podcast. We've done this for almost going on 8 years now, and we appreciate everyone who listens. We would really love it, if you haven't done so already, to give us a rating review. Apple Podcast or Spotify or your preferred podcast app. It really does help it's kind of like come up or go, or I guess what is it? Climb the ratings when it comes to health and fitness podcasts.
Yeah.
The more ratings we have. So please do so. Also, follow us on Instagram at the ATF podcast. Easiest way to kind of connect with us, just send us a DM and share a podcast with a friend. Well, like I said, we have over 400 episodes, so there's plenty to choose from.
Yeah.
So training recaps. I know. Did you have another great week of training this week?
I had a pretty good week. I did some core work. I did some spinning. Mm-hmm. I did some P-Valve. I did some yoga. Again, got to the end of the week and like my thighs were like really exhausted.
Yeah.
So it actually feels good because this weekend I sort of just took it easy.
Yeah.
And now I feel, like, recuperated. So now I feel like I can push myself a little bit farther again tomorrow.
You got another week of heavy week plans?
It's not going to be a heavy week this week. No, it's going to be, like, a half a week.
Yeah, half a week
yeah,
heavy.
Yeah, it's going to be about a half a week. But I'm going to focus on strength.
Good.
Type P-Valve this week. Yep, strengths, P-Valve, and probably some yoga.
Uh-huh.
And then maybe some just like weights.
Weights, yep. You end up getting weights at Target recently, right?
During the holidays, yeah.
What are you working with over there?
That was one of my excited things. I think I have an 8-pound and a 15-pound.
Pair of dumbbells?
Yeah, set.
Two sets?
And then I've got, or like they... 3 or 5 pounds in the other room.
Oh, those are 3 pounds. The hand weights?
Yeah, mm-hmm. the little ones. Mm-hmm. When I want to do like more endurance, muscle.
Right.
Endurance, I'll do those little tiny lightweights. But I do like, I think the 15 pounds are a nice challenge.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think for people who are looking for like equipment recommendations, obviously, 1 to 2 set of dumbbells, resistance bands, they're always yep. great options. And I mean, it won't break your bank either. So,
nope.
You know, we talk about ad nauseum, I think, on this podcast, just because it's so important is the importance of resistance training. So, yes, you can do body weight for resistance training, but you also want to kind of, you know, challenge, you know, your probably challenge your muscles to challenge them to grow, because that could help with bone density also. So you want to do working with weights is a great idea. You just make sure you do it properly.
Yeah, I do like throwing in every once in a while. I might do it this week. Throwing in not like a high impact workout, but like a high intensity, kind of like a HIIT workout.
Right.
Without the impact,
but
with weights.
Yeah.
So doing like changing it up so that you're just doing sets of like 50 seconds and then you're moving on to the next exercise.
Right.
And repeat. Like I like doing that with about like 4 to 5 exercises and then doing 4 to 5 sets of those.
Yeah.
That's like a really, I think that's a really nice way to keep engaged, challenge yourself, but not, you know, completely burn out.
Yeah. I like to do my interval training. I usually do like 3 exercises all like a super, super duper set it. I do them all in a row. So all the reps of each exercise, back to back to back, and then I take a rest at either 1 to 2 minutes, depending on how heavy I'm doing it, and I'll do like 3 or 4 rounds of that. So
yeah,
I like doing that one, especially when I have just a small amount of time, 10, 12 minutes, and I can be done. So I find it pretty beneficial. What I did for my training this week was I actually went pretty heavy. I did a heavy leg day at the gym at LA Fitness, actually, where I was, and I haven't done it in a long time. I had some knee issues probably recently that kind of solved themselves, thankfully. So I was ready to get back and push some serious weight. My heavy leg day consists of, I did 10 minutes on the Stairmaster. I did leg press machine. So, and my, nice. Usually
I
my,
love that machine.
Oh yeah. So I usually, with that one, I only do like low reps, 5 to 8 reps. And I try to go pretty heavy. So usually by the third set, I'm doing 5 reps, as heavy as I can do for 5 reps. So I think I was up to, at one point, up to 500 pounds for 5 reps. But now I'm probably back down. I think I did 410 for 5. So, and it's been a little while. So, and then I do the Roman chair, which is like the back extension, the little thing where you sit your feet in and you're at a 45 and you just bend at your waist and kind of extend back up. I did that with a 25-pound plate. And then I did seated leg extensions, single leg extensions. So that was a good day. And I also got to jiu-jitsu 3 times this week. So another 3 times a week jiu-jitsu. I don't know if that'll happen this coming week, but I'm happy to be getting in some good rounds and feel like I'm progressing, which is good, you know. And I will say that I felt pretty beat up at the end of this week. So I think I'm excited. I actually have a massage scheduled for this coming week.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully I don't get beat up by my go-to massage therapist.
I know. Communication.
I gotta say something. I'm going to say something this time. All right. So as we kind of teased in the beginning of the podcast that basically there's new research coming out that has come out saying how beneficial it is to work with your hands. And it's kind of different aspects of working with your hands. Basically, the research has shown that even some things like writing, actually painting or coloring, or even doing handwriting is beneficial, more beneficial to the brain than just typing or swiping.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the articles and the research that I looked at and we looked at is that basically kind of compared, does like typing on a keyboard match writing like without longhand? And there's a preliminary study show that it's actually more like gratifying, like the parts of your brain that kind of signal or kind of where are turned in, parts of your brain that are turned on, basically that kind of show
stimulated.
It happens more so when you write with your hand, like with a pen or cursive, a thing like that, which kind of makes sense, right?
Yeah.
Because I mean, writing is almost like a art form. There are certain arts. I mean, calligraphy.
Yeah.
Legitimately.
Is
yeah, it is for sure. So even just writing, you know, but you know how few of us write nowadays. It's crazy. I mean, we were just talking about that.
Well, I mean, like the crazy thing is that now, like they call it hand lettering. when you write essentially in cursive, but like nice.
Yeah.
So it's not even just writing. It's like, oh, you're doing hand lettering? It's like, yeah.
I don't know what the hand lettering.
Yeah. Like it's like when you learn like a certain cursive style,
yeah,
or, you know, you're writing intentionally for the look of it. It's, yeah, not just you're writing a letter down.
Right.
You'd be like hand lettering something because it is so much more the dying art.
Yeah.
I think we were just talking about this the other day.
Yeah, that's right. Like, yeah.
Is cursive writing going to be something that Ella does?
Yeah, it's even taught in class at school anymore.
Probably not taught in school, but she has seen me doing it so much because I have actually studied hand lettering, calligraphy, mm-hmm, all of that for most of my life. She sees me writing. She's like, I want to learn how to do that. And I'm like, you're still working on basic letters.
Yeah.
We'll get there.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I remember even art class, like back in grade school, I mean, we had a handwriting class. So I think for us, it was second grade for learning cursive. And then we even had art class where it was like, all right, we're doing calligraphy. And now we're doing, you know, even different like symbols. Like, mm-hmm, we were doing things like that when it was just very, you know, comprehensive. You know, it was very, everything was more tactile. And I mean, I know we're going more digital nowadays, but I think these are the type of studies that come out showing that maybe that something just being solely digital for things is not as beneficial. I mean, like I said, I don't, yeah, think it's groundbreaking research, but
it's a nice reminder. It's nice, yeah, to know.
Exactly. And like I said, it was even talking about in these studies about how things like knitting, or what was the thing you're talking about doing?
Oh.
Not knitting. What's it called?
I really want to try felting.
Yeah, what is felting?
Felting is, so, you know, like a piece of felt.
I get that, yeah.
Right? So you create that like smoother surface by pressing a needle down into the felt.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's how it gets more flat and not puffy. You start with like puffy felt and you essentially like needle it into a shape and you like form it almost like you would clay in a way, but like you do it with a needle. Well, so you're just sitting there and like stabbing a ball of felt
into a like actual shape or creation.
Into a shape.
That's what they were talking about.
It sounds so fun.
Yeah, they were talking about in these studies about how the idea of gratification of when you create something with your hands.
Well, that's what I think it is. Like, mm-hmm, that's the difference. Like, you think about what's really the difference between typing and writing.
Mm-hmm.
The fact is, your eyeballs see that you just typed letters on a screen. It doesn't register that you have really created something until you like print it out or, yeah, something like that. And like you write down something, well, that's a note, that's a letter, like that's something tangible that you've created.
Yeah.
Or, you know, if you write music or something like that, you know, like you then have like this tangible outcome. Whereas I feel like the digital disconnect takes a little bit of that away.
Right. And I think like even the idea of typing, because we learned to type, it was almost like we do it unconsciously. You know,
oh,
where,
yeah,
like, I mean, you barely train to where you just, your fingers just automatically go to the keys.
Memory.
Yeah, exactly. So obviously you know what words you want to type and things like that. So you're transferring. But I think the act of not just the small movement of your hand.
Yeah.
And the fact that it's almost so automatic, which writing can be too, but you're actually got to focus on the word, every letter you make,
yeah,
when you write, you know?
Yeah.
So it makes sense. And then, of course, you know, they related it to things that you create outside. They talk about how beneficial gardening is or woodworking and how you actually see the end product. And like you said,
see it, you feel it,
right,
you experience it on a deeper multi-sense level.
And they talked about how they're trying to use this to help people with depression.
Yeah.
And how there's a thing, they talked about it in the article. It was something about like perpetual helplessness was mm-hmm. this concept that people that have depression suffer from, that they can never do anything right. Everything they do just like, yeah. it just turns to, you know, mush essentially, mm-hmm. right? But they talk about how it's just in their brain, but if they can actually, you know, do things with their hands to create a product, it starts reversing or starts slowly, you know, kind of getting away from that feeling of helplessness, is that you can't do anything right because you right. actually created something.
Yeah, you created something completely. I mean, human beings are, our superpower is creation.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, no other creature or substance on this planet or known universe can create like we can.
It's so funny you say that, because that's what they talked about in the article, about how actually humans, our humans' hands separate us very much so from all the other animals.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we have similarities with chimps and things like that, but mm-hmm. still our hands and the hand-brain connection has been able to separate us from all other animals. And so, like I said, that kind of, if you guys tuned in last week, we talked about kind of the happiness study, about how U.S. is dropping out of the happiness, top 20 happiest countries in the world. And it seems to be being driven down by the younger people in the United yeah. States. And I think it's just, I think you can draw kind of a connection between the younger generation doing less things with their hands, to which could be linked to the lack of happiness.
Well, it's interesting because I'm starting, like, I probably watch more YouTube than I do like regular like shows or like, you know, networks or whatever. And I've seen a lot more YouTube channels dedicated to like crafting.
Mm-hmm.
And not complicated crafting. I mean, I'm talking like beads and crafts that Ella could do.
Yeah.
You know, like little craft kits you see at Target. But it's the point that you sit down, not on a screen, and you do something hands-on.
Mm-hmm.
And like, it's a cozy crafting. Like, this idea of cozy crafting has become a movement. Mm-hmm. And I'm seeing it pop up more. Like, it's popping up in like my Pinterest feed and my, you know, like, I don't go on Instagram that much anymore, but like, you know, Instagram and stuff like that. And I honestly think that it's tied. Like, there's those people talk about how like crafting is a community building activity as well.
Mm-hmm.
Working with your hands, doing these crafts, like, it requires some skill. So it provides an opportunity for socialing, like mm-hmm. socialism, not socialism like that, like socializing.
Yes.
There's a social element to it.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about in that happiness study that like particularly younger generations, they don't feel like they have a whole lot of social support.
Right.
And it's like these things, like working with your hands, one of the best ways to connect with human beings in the world is to connect based on a similar hobby that you like.
Right. Yeah. I mean, like, I remember in like,
no matter what it is,
the clubs that were like in school, whether at middle school or high school, you know, like chess club and things like that. But then, like, you can even have like knitting club or quilting club and things like that. So it's
we
just
didn't
like,
have those in my school, but I'll take your word for it.
Maybe you're just nerd school. But I thought it was funny because, well, not funny.
Sports.
I thought it was interesting about how like it's not only is it like our humans are very unique among the animal kingdom, but just reading these studies about how beneficial work is, especially work with your hands. They did a study with mice, and they found that if they buried the food and had the mice dig it up,
yeah,
they got more. They were basically able to, through studies and some sort of brain scan,
yeah,
produce more pleasure of actually finding the food than just being given the food.
Oh yeah.
So it's just like,
well, again, it's like there's more of the experience as opposed to just it being there for you.
Yeah.
And like, we forget that we are like physical creatures with five senses for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if we're lucky, two hands that can do a lot of different things mm-hmm. with, you know, a little bit of practice, you know, you building skills. Like, building skills is one of the number one ways to build confidence.
Yep.
So you think about what you were just saying with, like, people who are really depressed and doubting their value and worth, ability to contribute to the world. Doing something that where they can develop a skill, even if it's small, like, that starts changing your brain's chemistry and programming.
Mm-hmm.
And you start getting that positive feedback, that, like, serotonin hit when you say, wow, look at this thing I created.
Mm-hmm.
Look at this skill I've developed. Like, felting, I don't think I'm going to become a professional felter, folks. Like, I looked at it on Amazon and I'm like, oh, look, I can make an owl. I can make a little shark.
I got to see a picture of this felting thing.
I'm going to show you. It's just, it's really cute. But also, I feel like I might stab myself. So, you know, we'll see. But it's just, if I could do it and, like, do it a few times and not stab myself,
I mean,
I'll consider that success.
The thing I know that you told me how much you enjoyed was the Book Nook thing.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. Puzzles.
You're getting it. You're thinking about getting a puzzle table. That's how far we're going.
Oh, I'm not thinking about it. That is just, that is a, like, that's just timing.
It's happening.
It's, that's happening. Because A, we have no coffee table, and B, I need a place for my puzzles.
There we go. But I think overall, just how, like, the last two episodes have been connected about what kind of action steps can we take in order to get our happiness level up. And even for, you know, obviously talking to people under 30 and even over 30, it's just work more with your hands. And there's so many different variations of that. I mean, talking about gardening,
coloring,
you know, carpeting, coloring. Exactly right. That's right.
I've done that lately.
Coloring, exactly. And just handwriting, art, all that stuff. Working with your hands in whatever variation is to produce some sort of product. That's what I think one thing that can help us get back on that, the top of the happiness chart.
Yeah. Well, so, I mean, I think it's just one of those, like, it really speaks to the fulfillment aspect of us as human beings. And the more we literally lose connection with what we're able and really created for, the more we feel adrift, the more disconnected we feel, which is very, just on a soul level, like, very dissatisfying. So get back to the basics.
That's right.
Pick up a fun craft or something. That's right.
Get your hands dirty. Calloused up.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. All right. So that's what the topic for this week's podcast. And now we're going to go in what's got us pumped. I'll tell you what's got me pumped. I had a client come back recently who's been off for nearly 2.5 years.
Wow.
And he's been going through issues. I'm not going to go into specifics.
Do I know who they are?
I believe I've mentioned them before.
Okay.
But a lot of trials and tribulations.
Okay.
And hopefully is on the other side now.
And I don't know their name.
We've been going back and forth for probably the last year and a half about, oh, I'm coming in now. I'll see you this day. Never came up to fruition.
And he did
never.
It?
And finally came back in.
That's amazing.
And hopefully he's going to be on the right track now, keeping it going. So we got a commitment, like a little bit of a commitment, just starting baby steps, you know, to get him back
so
where
good.
He was. And it's just, I was very... a good moment. Very excited about it.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
That really is, like, that is, I think, one of the best reasons for a trainer.
Yeah.
Like, whether you've never worked with a trainer before or if you've just gotten away from it and you feel like you're kind of struggling, like, you need that someone to hold you accountable and that reason to show up and do the little things.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
I'm very happy. And like I said, the key is, I don't know, and this doesn't, I don't mean this to sound like tooting my own horn, but it's just like, I know how beneficial exercise can be. I mean, we talk about it. We've been doing a podcast for 8 years about it.
I know.
You know? So when I see people or hear about people struggling, the best thing that I can offer, my skill is just to get, hey, you know, come in, workout. I'll put you through a workout. All you got to do is show up. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what I do for most of my clients. And then if I hear somebody that's struggling, I really try. I think I walk the line of being overbearing and encouraging. But, you know, it's just one of those things is that I just want people to feel the same way I do about exercise and how beneficial it is. So, like I said, getting a trainer, that a good trainer should do that for you. You know, get you to not to take a little bit of the responsibility off, because they can help just create the workouts for you, but also give you accountability at the same time. So yeah. I'm very happy that my awesome. Client came back. So what about you? What are you pumped for?
Actually, I'm going to go with something that fits right into our topic today.
Yeah.
I'm going to highlight the adult coloring books that I've gotten back into.
Now, when you mean adult, so like,
so I'm not R-rated? Stealing. I'm not stealing Ella's coloring books. That's all it means.
Oh, I thought you.
These
meant
are
like...
not pornographic.
Oh, okay, good.
They're not sexual at all. They are like adult coloring books are just usually a lot more detailed.
Yeah.
Than kids' coloring books, so, like a lot more little tiny spaces, just a lot more detail in the graphic. And they're usually also, like, you can use different kinds of coloring materials. Like, you could maybe use, like, a watercolor. Or you could do something besides crayon and markers. I have a ton of beautiful markers that I had gotten, like, a year ago. Because I just was tired of using Ella's crappy, you know, broken ones. Mm-hmm. And I was like, no way, I'm going to get my own really nice collection. And it's so soothing. It's so relaxing. Like, I'm not saying that I'm a fantastic artist, but I've legitimately been an artist at various points of my life, like paid to do it, shockingly. Still don't know how that happened. Mm. But I can draw. I have the ability to do that, but there is something about just taking an outlined image and being kind of constricted as to what I can do and just focusing on the color aspect of it, just the color, not the lines, not the dimension, not the perspective, just the color. And it's so relaxing and so gratifying. When you finish even like part of one of these, like one of these pictures takes me like 2 to 3 hours to do.
Yeah.
And it's so gratifying. I'm actually like just holding on to them because I'm like, oh yeah, I have a bunch that are not even finished, but I know I could go back and finish them.
Yeah.
And it's become like a thing that Ella and I do together.
Yeah, I was going to comment about that. Yeah.
And, like, my mom told me today that she got Ella a coloring book and some nice markers for Easter. And Ella was like, oh, that's nice. And she's like, you don't want it to color? She goes, well, I do that with my mom. And I was like, oh, my gosh. And she likes to do the adult coloring ones.
Yeah.
Like, we've got a Harry Potter. We've got a little gnome one, which is really cute. And we have done some of hers, but like we have like some with like animals and things like that in them. But it's a simple thing. Like, talk about working with your hands. So simple. I don't know that I would have even thought to stop and color with my daughter, like, and really enjoy it.
Yeah.
Not just, like, killing time while she does something else.
Right.
But to really enjoy it, if I hadn't, like, been interested in kind of other, like, easy, simple crafts that Ella and I could do together.
Yeah.
And
I know.
So much joy.
Yeah, I was impressed. I remember the time you guys sat there and did it. I was just like,
poor
cleaning
hours.
And I like come back and see everybody's still working. Go out in the sky, do something, come back. You guys are still working. I'm like, what's happening? It's like the first time we sat Ella down to watch a movie and she like, well, she watched the movie from beginning to end. We were just like,
yeah, we're like, oh gosh,
she okay?
We have an hour and a half.
Well, that is something to be pumped for.
Yeah.
And hopefully everybody's pumped for what info they got on this week's podcast. If you are, let us know by leaving a rating review. Also, you can let us know personally by sending us a message on Instagram at the ATA Podcast. And last but not least, don't forget to share one of the many podcast episodes that we've had with a friend. Anything else for him tonight?
Nope.
This has been another edition of the Addicted to Fitness Podcast, and we'll check you next time.
Bye.
For all things addicted to fitness, you can check out our website, addictedtofitnesspodcast.com. You can also give us a follow on Twitter at the ATF Podcast and like and follow the Addicted to Fitness Podcast Facebook page. Last but not least, please give us a rating and review in the iTunes store. Thanks.